Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Bird Brained Ramblings podcast. My name is John and I'm your host. I guess you could call me that. Welcome and thanks for joining me on my birding adventures. Stay tuned in and join me for the adventure. Hey everyone, as promised, I am back with another episode without waiting 6 months. So it's good to be back. Thanks for tuning in. Like the intro said, I'm John. This is Bird Brained Ramblings. And, you know, we just sit here and talk about birds. That's all we do. As I said last episode, I am looking into getting some guests to come and record with me. It's just, it hasn't worked out yet. But we're working on it, slowly but surely. So until then, you get to hear my wonderful voice, or less than a wonderful voice, ramble on about birds. Which is why we call it Bird Brained Ramblings, because, you know, that just makes sense. but anyway, today I get to tell you guys all about the month of April of this year and my big year. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, you know, my big year did come to a little bit of an abrupt end. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it is what it is. You know, we have to live and learn. And so, you know, I mean, like I said, it is what it is. I'm not worried about it too much. It was kind of hard to have to let that go. I didn't want to, you know, cancel my big year. Obviously, no one wants to cancel their big year. But with money being tight and family needing me at home and things like that, there was only so much you could do. So here I am. I'm back home and ready to talk about the month of April. So, y'all, hold on to your seats and grab the popcorn and, you know, just listen to some of the fun stories that I had from the month of April. All right, so let's go ahead and hop into the month of April here. If you hear me clicking in the background, it's because I'm switching through a bunch of different checklists. April, of course, in the state of Georgia is a busy month. Lots of migrating birds coming through. The first warblers start to show up, which, of course, everybody gets excited about the warblers. We have our yellow-rumped warblers all winter, but it's in the spring when we start getting the exciting stuff. And here you are, you've only got a small amount of time to see all these warblers and things, and migrating thrushes, and I mean, all kinds of birds that are migrating through. And so it was an exciting spring, definitely not the spring I was expecting. But it was really exciting nevertheless, and I got to spend some time birding with some different people too, which was really cool. So, you know, April was a good month. You can't complain about it. I definitely can't complain. So to start off the month of April, I mean, I had a lot of checklists in here that I'm not going to go over because it's, you know, normal birding. I've got a month's worth of birding to report about here, and because it's migration season, obviously you're going to have a ton. You're going to have an absolute ton of, checklists and things, and I'm not going to go over each one, but I will share the highlight ones, the ones that I'm going over. I will share them in the show notes. So here goes. On April 2nd, which was the first big birding day that I did of the year, there had been, a Wilson's warbler that had been seen at, Clyde Shepherd Nature Preserve in Atlanta. It had been seen for, I want to say, like 2 weeks up to this point, and I had just not had a chance to get out there, and it was killing me because here I am, you know, I'm doing a big year and I need this bird. A Wilson's warbler in Georgia is not, you know, terribly common. It seems like we get one, you know, on a regular basis. We always get one in the spring, it seems like, but I needed this bird. This was probably my one shot to get it for the year. And so it was absolutely killing me. And I had one weekend where I didn't have anything to do, which, of course, is very rare for me. And so I was at home and I looked at Mom and I was like, Mom, you know, would you like to go see this bird with me? And normally my mom's not too hip on that kind of stuff. I mean, she loves birds. She loves nature. She loves science. But she's not one to go and chase a rarity. And so I wasn't expecting when she said yes. And so we got up kind of early that morning. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but we got up kind of early that morning and drove out to Clyde Shepherd. There was already a lot of people there looking for it. They had that, and they also had nesting barred owls that were being seen. And so a great photo op there for those. And so you know, there was a lot of people out there. And what my mom didn't realize was that, you know, the birding community overall, but especially the birding community in Georgia, is very active. And what I mean by that is, when there's a rarity like this reported, lots of people will go and see it, especially this particular one. So we got out there, and I would not be afraid to bet there was somewhere between 30 and 40 individuals out there looking for this bird. And we were on the GroupMe app that was talking about the bird. And, you know, we're asking, like, where is it? You know, have you seen it today? It had been seen at this one spot right before we got there. And we stood around and we waited and waited and waited. We're listening for it and all this kind of stuff. You know, we're all whispering so that we can keep listening. And we had a nice sized list. We had 44 species for the day. And, you know, among that, we did not see the baby barred owls, but we did have one vocalizing barred owl out there, which is a really cool addition. We also had, we had a wide-eyed vireo. That's not anything, you know, too crazy to write home about. We had 10 golden-crowned kinglets. We had a ruby-crowned kinglet that was, like, I mean, you could have reached out your hand and touched it. It flew right up next to me and my mom and got some great looks at it. You know, the list just kept going on and on and on. We didn't have, you know, too much craziness. We did have a purple finch, which was really awesome. A ton of goldfinches, like crazy. We had my first orchard oriole of the season. It was early, and I believe it was marked rare. I really do. I believe it was marked rare because it was so early. And then we finally, so we're standing around in this one area, and I could have swore I'd heard it. And several other people had said the same thing. And there's this little trail that goes off to the right, and it's not an actual trail. And I know that, you know, general rule is you don't go on a trail that's not marked as a trail. But several of us went, you know, traipsing up through this man-made trail and looking for it. Some of us, I mean, there was a bird that flew from exactly where the sound was coming from, and I'm 90% sure that was the Wilson's Warbler at that time, but we did not get a good enough look at it to confirm ID. There were several individuals that saw it. None of us could confirm it. And so at this point, you know, it's starting to get warmer, and, you know, I was thinking, well, this dude's gonna, like, he's gonna stop calling. There's so many people around. It's getting warmer outside, those sorts of things. And so I turned around, I went back over to where my mom was standing. I was like, let's walk around the rest of the trail, around the nature preserve here, and, see if we can see something else, you know, see what all we can see. There was a group of people birding. I don't believe it was an official Georgia Audubon group. But the guy that was leading the walk was part of Georgia Audubon, and, big group of people. And as we're walking, we're catching up with them, and the whole group is stopped and looking at something. And we stop and look, and what they're pointing out is an orange-crowned warbler. And I thought, okay, you know, orange-crowned, they're cool, but it's nothing to write home about. And about that time, we heard the Wilson's Warbler. And it was right there. I mean, it was somewhere right there. So we're all, like, scrambling to try to find it and all this kind of stuff while we're trying not to scare it off at the same time and trying not to be loud and things like that. And finally, someone in the group got their eyes on it, and all this big group of people, everybody that had gathered around, we all got to see the Wilson's Warbler through the binoculars. And it was a really neat opportunity. And the first thing that my mom said when we got in the car was she never realized how active the birding community is in Georgia. She never realized that there would be all these people out here looking for a Wilson's Warbler. And she said that that was encouraging to her, if I remember correctly, she looked at me and she said, that gives me hope for the future. And I was like, yeah, it does. And, you know, we're trying to get more young people involved with birding. And, you know, we don't want birding to be the hobby that dies out with, you know, the generation that is my grandparents. You know, we don't want the tradition of birding to die out with them and then my parents' generation. You know, this is something that we have to keep going. Birding is what keeps conservation, you know, a lot of conservation effort is backed by birding and things like that. And so we can't let this die. So she was really excited about it, and she mentioned that she'd be interested in going on more rarity chases with me. which I thought was really cool because mom's never really been into that, but she had offered and I was like, okay, so I'll take you up on that one day. So we gave it a couple more days. It was exactly a week to the day. And me and a friend went out to West Point Wildlife Management Area in Troup County. That was on April 9th. And we got out there. I had never been to West Point Wildlife Management Area. I did not know, really, I didn't know how big it was. I didn't know that there was anything to write home about there. But we got out there and started driving on some of the trails, and we saw some really neat stuff, lots of vireos. We had one of every type of vireo that is normally seen in the state. We had at least one of each of those. We had a hermit thrush, which was really cool. I mean, nothing crazy to write home about. We had my first hooded warblers for the season were out there. We actually called one up to the car. I know people have differing opinions on playback, but we had called one up to the car. It was really cool. He was watching us and we were watching him, and got three prairie warblers, which if I remember right was the first prairie warblers I'd had for the year as well. But we were getting ready to leave. We went out this side. We went in at the main entrance for West Point Wildlife Management Area, and we went back along this trail and it dead ends, and then we turned back around and kept going a different direction to get out of the property. And as we're getting ready to leave, this hawk flies up, it flushes from the side of the road and that we were on, and I slammed on my brakes real quick, and my friend was like, are you serious? You know, and she was not happy. But I was like, wait, I think that's a broad-winged hawk. And so I got into my binoculars, and sure enough it was. And that was my first broad-winged hawk of the year. So another new species to add to my list for the year. So it was really exciting to see that bird as well. West Point is one of those places that, you know, in certain times of the year, I'm sure it's great for birding. In the summer, it seemed like it was really great in the summer as well, but you have to be there early in the morning. Because we actually went, it was either June or July, I think it was in June, I went back with some other friends and had the opportunity to go birding early that day. And so it was great. We got some great birds, just, I mean, beautiful place. And but it is kind of like a hit and miss kind of situation. I don't, you know, I never want to bash a spot, I mean, by any means. And West Point is not one that I would bash even if I did. Because it is a great spot, but it's not, you know, anything crazy. So, but it's definitely worth going out there if you're ever in the area. Make sure you stop by West Point Wildlife Management Area, out there in Troup County. Great birds, great birds. After that, it was mostly birding at my office. There was a lot of birding at Alexander Park in McDonough, which I've talked about before on the podcast, which is right down the road from, my office. I did some birding at our church parking lot, a lot of birding at our farm. If you ever go to my eBird page, you'll see a lot of checklists for honeybee farms, and it says private property, no public access. That is our farm. And, you know, I've got a list, I think it's over 100 species now at the farm. Fantastic spot down there. So it's just a lot of birding at my normal spots, you know, nothing too crazy. But I did have the opportunity to go up to Mountain Fellowship Camp in North Georgia for one weekend. And I was not planning on, you know, actually going up there and birding or anything like that. And I actually went up there with a friend. We were going to be there for the whole weekend, and some stuff happened on Friday night when we got there. We had driven up there after I got off work, hung out for a couple hours, you know, played some games, things like that. And I had gotten to show her around the camp property and things like that. And then some stuff happened and we ended up having to go home that night, which kind of stunk. But before we left, I was driving past the lake, and there's this little island out there on the lake. And there was a bird hopping around. There was three of them, and one of them flew. And I was like, what is that? And I started looking, and it was semi-palmated sandpipers. What they were doing at Mountain Fellowship Camp in North Georgia is beyond me. But there was three of them. Gorgeous birds. I do have pictures of them somewhere. They're not on this checklist. So I'm the world's worst about taking pictures of birds and not putting them on the checklist. So I'm trying. But So it was really cool getting to see that bird. We drove home that night, got home super late, was exhausted, you know, and we ended up sleeping in the next morning. But then we got up and we were like, okay, well, we didn't get to hang out at the camp, so where can we go today? And I was like, well, there's always birding. You can't go wrong with birding. And so we ended up getting up and going over to the E.L. Huey Ponds and Shamrock Lake that belong to the Clayton County Water Authority. And if you've listened to this podcast at all, odds are you've heard me talk about these places because they're some of my favorite birding spots in the state. I mean, just a beautiful place. So we went out there. It was cold that morning, but we got out there. We started seeing some really neat stuff. No crazy ducks or anything like that. I was kind of hoping there'd still be some stuff hanging around, but here it was the 23rd of April. And so it was a little late to see some of those crazy ducks and things like that that you normally would see. We did have a broadwinged hawk. We got some great pictures of some tree swallows. They weren't too close to us, but the way the sun was and everything, I was able to zoom in really close on them. Got some beautiful pictures of them. Had a red-winged blackbird, a couple of those. Had a yellow-breasted chat, which, if I remember correctly, is the first one I had for the year. So we enjoyed the that was at the E.L. Huey Retention Ponds, the one that you have to have a permit to go see. And it was fun. It was fun. We had a really great time. I was definitely kind of disappointed in the fact that there wasn't more ducks and stuff out there, because that's what you go there to see. But it was not the end of the world. So then we drove over to Lake Shamrock, which is also one of the spots that has to have a permit that belongs to Clayton County Water Authority. But we got to go out there and started looking. There was this family of Canada geese with their goslings. They were so cute. I have some pictures of those up on the checklist. Really cute birds, of course. We had a fish crow that was really close. We got to get some pictures of him. We had some warblers, which was great. I had a worm-eating warbler, a bay-breasted warbler, yellow-rumped warblers, and a scarlet tanager. And I think that was the first scarlet tanager for the year, and it may have been the first bay-breasted warbler of the year. I can't remember, honestly. But it was really neat. We got to see some really cool birds and hear some really cool birds. Once again, not a ton of waterfowl, but it's late April, so there's not too much you can ask for there. I had already ended the first checklist, and, my friend looked at me, she was like, you know, I gotta go to the bathroom. So we pulled over to the bathrooms that are at Lake Shamrock, and, she got out to go to the bathroom, and I got out to go do something. I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was refilling my water bottle or something, and I heard this crazy noise, and I was like, what on earth? And so I started listening more and more and more, and it was a Virginia rail. And so it was definitely a highlight species. It was definitely exciting. That was a county first for me, was a Virginia rail right there. And I believe that, so right behind the bathrooms there at Lake Shamrock, there's this wet area where some of the overflow from Lake Blaylock flows down into Lake Shamrock. And so I think it was over in there. That's where the sound was coming from. I never did get to see it. It was definitely a Virginia rail, though. I mean, without a doubt, that was the first thing that I thought of. I was sitting there listening, and I was like, okay, let me see if I can get Merlin to confirm it. Merlin confirmed it. And I know we can't go by Merlin, you know. Merlin says there's some crazy stuff sometimes. And you're looking at it thinking, do you know what you're listening to? But obviously, computers can only do so much. And so, since I already had guessed it was Virginia rail, and I had matched it to some of the other sound recordings I was listening to, I had no doubts that Merlin was correct in identifying it as a Virginia rail. So, really cool bird to kind of get to witness there. Not something that I expected to see, or to hear, rather. Over there at Lake Shamrock, definitely not something I ever thought I'd actually hear or see in Clayton County, but it was definitely awesome to get to add to my Clayton County list, so I can't complain. Absolutely no complaining there. I've stressed this every time that I make a checklist and I talk about it on here. The Clayton County Water Authority retention ponds are always fantastic places to go, no matter what season it is. you're always going to have, you know, at least decent birding out there. And so it's totally worth it. Just do it. And it's worth every minute of your time. So the following weekend, I had a trip planned out to Savannah and to the coast to go do some birding. I was thinking, you know, it's late spring. I need to go try to get, you know, grab some more species and things like that. Stuff that I haven't picked up yet. And really just wanted to get away. So I took a trip and I went down to Savannah. And lots of checklists here, but I will say this. As normal, I camped at the Savannah South KOA campground. I actually stayed in a cabin this time, one of their camper cabins, which is, you know, decently priced. It was really a great deal, and I had the awesome opportunity to get to stay there. So worth it. I think it's $45 a night for that camper cabin, and it backs right up to the lake where the rookery is. And so I got to see some really beautiful birds out there. Lots of herons and egrets and hingas. And I had a black-crowned night heron there, which was the first one for the year for me, I believe. No, that's not true. That was not the first one for the year. But, you know, it was really cool getting to see that one there. If I remember correctly, it's the first time I'd been seen there. The Savannah South KOA is a hotspot. And I looked, and, like, you know, you can go to eBird and look at the hotspot and do the first seen sightings. That shows you the first time that a bird was seen there, and mine was the one that was listed. So, to my knowledge, that's the first time that there's been a black-crowned night heron seen there and reported, at least reported to eBird. So, that's cool. So, while I was at the Savannah South KOA, like I said, I had that night heron, had some anhingas, great crested flycatchers, boat-tailed grackles. I have this really awesome picture of a boat-tailed grackle on one of the checklists from the KOA. Really beautiful bird. You can see its super bright yellow eyes, and you can see the iridescence of its feathers in the sun. This is really cool getting to, you know, get that picture, of course. We had 28 black-bellied whistling ducks fly over. They were individually counted. It was a little early, if I remember, and it may have been flagged as rare because it was so early. But it was really cool getting to see them. I heard them first, and then I saw them. Really neat opportunity there. Got a really awesome picture of a great a double-crested cormorant. And then we had this little blue heron. He was so stinking cute. He was walking along the edge of the lake. And of course the edge of the lake backs up to the porches of these cabins. And so he's just walking right in front of the cabins. And so I was able to get this really awesome video of a little blue heron, walking right in front of the cabin. And, I just stayed as still as I could, you know, I kind of tried to stay out of his line of sight so that he didn't know I was there. I didn't want to scare him. And all that, but he was a really neat bird, really cool video there. It was uploaded to my YouTube channel, and then, of course, it's on the Macaulay Library as well, now that I've uploaded it through eBird. So, if you have questions, this is kind of off topic, but if you have questions about how to upload videos to eBird, the eBird does limit who can have access to upload videos, and you have to have examples of your videos to show them first. And so I actually started the YouTube channel solely for the purpose to display my work so that they could see my videos and, you know, give me the opportunity to upload videos. And so they did finally. There's all these steps you have to go through, but if you're more interested in it, go to eBird. I think it's under, Frequently Asked Questions, I believe, is where it's under. So you should be able to find it there. And just read their instructions on how to go about getting that done. Had a worm-eating warbler, which was a really neat addition, out there as well that evening. Then we had some wood storks show up, and they roosted over my car. This is back when I had the Ford still. They roosted over my car and used my car as the toilet for the entire night. And I got up the next morning, and my silver Ford Flex is covered in poop. And, just super nasty, really gross, was not a happy camper. And so, but it is what it is, you know, we love birds anyway. the next day, that one we had, there was a yellow crown night heron out there as well as an osprey. Had some purple martins start flying over, a nice sized flock. There was 8 of them, which for that early in the year is decent. Had a yellow warbler, black-throated blue, yellow-throated warbler. So really great birds out there. Had a fantastic time birding on the porch of the cabin. I would totally recommend the cabins if you have the chance to go to a KOA. The next day, I got up early and drove out to Gould's Inlet at St. Simon's Island. Got there shortly after the sun had started to come up and started looking. I forget exactly what I was there looking for. I don't know if I was just there looking just to look or what. I honestly don't remember. But I got out there when the tide was a little bit low, which was perfect because there was lots of shorebirds feeding out there in the inlet. When the water's out, lots of birds feed right there. And so it was a really cool opportunity to get to see them. Had some American oyster catchers fly over. Also came across some black-bellied plovers, whimbrels, ruddy turnstones, red knots. Had some laughing gulls out there, ring-billed, herring, lesser black-backed. Had some really cool leased terns. I have a video of a leased tern that's been uploaded to my YouTube, I think. If it's not up there, I've got the video. It just hasn't been uploaded yet. 3 gull-billed terns, common terns, foresters, royal, sandwich. I mean, you name it, it was out there. Had a nice sized flock of northern gannets, which I thought was a little late in the season for northern gannets, but I counted 8. Really cool opportunity there to see them. The thing about Gould's Inlet was I didn't know what I was really preparing for, and so I only went out there with my binoculars at first, my binoculars and my camera. So I had to go back to my car. When I saw that it was super active and stuff out there, I had to go back to my car to get my scope. And so I went out and got my scope. And came back, did some more looking, didn't really see anything, so I didn't make another checklist. But as I was getting ready to leave, I packed up my scope and everything, and if you're familiar with Gould's Inlet, behind the inlet, up behind the boardwalk, there's this pond that just kind of, I think it's rainwater, honestly, that fills this little tiny pond randomly. That's back in the dunes a little bit. But there's a flat area that you can walk up to the pond and get pictures. And I looked over there and I was like, oh, cool, there's something over there. And I went over there. It was a black-bellied plover, some Wilson's plovers. And that was it. That was all I had right there. But I was enjoying watching them. And then I heard something and I was like, what on earth? And so I started looking. It was in this really grassy area that kind of backs up to the boardwalk. And it turned out to be a Nelson's sparrow, which was a really cool addition. That was the first one for the year. If I remember correctly, that was my lifer as well. And beautiful bird, of course. All those when the sharp-tailed sparrow or sharp that one when that one was split into the 3 different species or 2 different species, whatever it was, when that one was split. All of those just look beautiful, but they're very similar. And it took audio to be able to help split them up a little bit there, as well as, you know, the typical field marks and things like that. It was not easy to split it, but finally got it worked out and was able to let one of my friends that lives down there know, hey, I just got a Nelson's sparrow. He was like, oh, that's really cool. It's a good bird to have right there. And just kind of got to chat about it. So really neat. After that, I left the Gould's Inlet and headed towards Jekyll Island. And, of course, on the way there's Marshes of Glen. And so I had to stop at Marshes of Glen. You can't not stop at Marshes of Glen. So I parked and just went out and started walking. There wasn't a lot out there. Some terns, some marsh wrens, of course, the blackbirds and grackles, like always. Had a decent picture of a Eurasian collared dove right there. And then as I was walking out to the car, this lady stopped me. We were talking about my camera and how my camera's not a DSLR. It's not, you know, a $3,000 camera or anything crazy like that. It's just an expensive point and shoot. It was like $300-something for this point and shoot that has an amazing zoom on it. And it works wonders. And so she was asking me about it, you know, just kind of picking my brain. And as I stood there, I saw something in the parking lot. So I looked and there was a dead, I believe it was a Wilson's Storm Petrel. But being dead and the fact that I wasn't going to move it because it was covered in fire ants, I didn't get close enough to look and, you know, actually like pull apart, because, you know, those storm petrels, man, they can be rough to tell apart. And so, but there was a dead one in the parking lot, and I reported it to, D-Bird. I was told by a friend that was a good place to report dead birds. And so I went to D-Bird, reported it there, and texted some friends and just let them know, hey, this is out there, you know, didn't know what was going on. And apparently there was a really strong offshore winds, blowing in and had knocked a lot of them inland. And actually, after that one was seen, they started seeing them all over the place down there around the boardwalks on St. Simons and Jekyll, because they were just being blown inland. And it's sad because you don't want them to do that, but it was cool to have them out there and stuff. So we went to Jekyll Island next. And, of course, Jekyll Island is always great. So there's a lot to go over with Jekyll Island. So tune in as we talk about that. So Jekyll Island, I mean, you can't go wrong with going to Jekyll Island. It's a beautiful place, lots of birds, definitely an experience. If you're ever on the Georgia coast, if you ever have the chance to go to the Georgia coast, Jekyll Island is a close second when it comes down to the best barrier islands. Number one, in my opinion, being Cumberland Island. But I was able to go to Jekyll Island and do some birding there after I left the Marshes of Glen Park on that morning. And started at 9 o'clock and started driving down the causeway. The causeway is a hot spot in and of itself. There's so many birds along the causeway. So I was driving to the island, to the Welcome Center, and I would pull over like every, 500 feet maybe. I'd pull over and look at some more birds and things like that. And it's amazing to me the stuff that you could see. I had 9 whimbrels. I had 1 black-necked stilt, which is my first one for the year. Lots of ruddy turnstones. I mean, I'm just looking through this list. I had a loggerhead shrike out there. Lots of red-winged blackbirds. I mean, a lot of them. Had some short-billed dowitchers, things like that. It wasn't a whole lot of stuff that was, like, outrageously fantastic on the causeway, but I got some good species, and I got some first of the year species as well. Not a ton, but I did get some. So it was a really good opportunity to get some of those. So the causeway is a really great spot. No one ever said anything about me pulling over on the side of the road. I'm assuming it's okay. There's no signs saying no parking or anything like that. And there were other people parked along the side of the road as well. So I'm hoping it's okay. If you guys get in trouble for it, let me know and I'll apologize. But, so I drove down the causeway and ended up at the Welcome Center, and the Jekyll Island Welcome Center is a hot spot in and of itself as well. And I've seen some really cool stuff out there at the, Welcome Center, but when I got there, it was high tide. And so the water had come in, it was high at the salt marsh behind the Welcome Center. So there wasn't a lot of really great stuff. I did have a marbled godwit, which was fantastic. One of the best places in the state to find marbled godwit is at the Jekyll Island Welcome Center. I think I've seen one every time I've gone. I also had a royal tern, a roseate spoonbill. It flew by. It was just a flyby. Had a really great picture of a blue-gray gnatcatcher. I was really impressed with it. It's a little bit blurry, but it's a decent photo, and I love it. Had some marsh wrens and orchard oriole, some boat-tailed grackles, of course, because you're on the coast. And if you don't have boat-tailed grackles, then you're not paying attention. But it wasn't the best, visit to the Welcome Center, but it was a good opportunity to see some birds. Got that really good picture of the gnatcatcher, which was really awesome as well. Once I left the Welcome Center, there was a couple different places I wanted to go. While I was out there at Jekyll Island, the first place that I wanted to go was Horton Pond, which is this one particular pond out there. And I had heard of some great stuff being seen out there. And so I hit the road to go check it out. And I got a common ground dove out there, which was really cool. Had some spotted sandpipers. The spotted sandpipers were hanging out on the rock, or not a rock, but the platform that's built in the middle of the pond for the alligators to rest on. And so they were just hanging out there with the alligators. There was some baby alligators sitting there too. And they were just walking around them like no big deal, you know. And the gators didn't mind them hanging out or anything like that. It was really interesting. But got to see some spotted sandpipers. Had an American bittern out there. Definitely a surprise. It was getting a little late in the year to have an American bittern down there. And definitely wasn't expecting it, but it was a really cool opportunity to see one. I got a black-crowned night heron as well. Let's see, the list goes on. It's a lot of birds that you would see in a woodland habitat. Had yellow-breasted chats, northern perulas, black-throated blue warblers, yellow-throated warblers, summer tanagers, scarlet tanagers. A lot of those really pretty woodland birds that you would have in the beginning of summer. And, also had a common gallinule, which was really cool. That one was really neat as well, because I had to walk around the side of the pond, headed out towards the water tower to see that one. And you kind of have to squat down to see the pond and all this kind of stuff, because it's not cleared out on that side for you to actually walk past. So, that was pretty neat, you know, getting to see that one. Horton Pond is a great spot. And I had a great time talking with some other people that were standing at the overlook, watching the baby alligators. Had a really great conversation with some of them, just talking about, you know, how I was out there looking at birds, and they were talking about how they were out there on vacation and, you know, things like that. It was just a really cool conversation, a good time to have a conversation with them as well. After I was done at Horton Pond, I scooted up to the Clam Creek picnic area. Clam Creek picnic area has always had a reputation for being able to see some crazy stuff out there, but I've never been lucky enough to do that. And so it kind of stinks, but I've never been lucky enough to do that. So I went out there anyway and had a lot of pectoral sandpipers, brown pelicans, of course, gnat catchers, red-winged blackbirds, yellow-throated warblers were all over the place. If I saw a warbler, 90% of the time out there, it was a yellow-throated warbler. But then as I was headed back to the car, I started hearing something that I didn't know. And I was a little bit, you know, confused. It was a call, and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I know that from somewhere. I just couldn't pinpoint it. And then I started thinking, and it was a painted bunting. I pulled out Merlin. Merlin concluded with me that it was a painted bunting, and it was a female painted bunting. I got some photos of her. They're not the best pictures, but they are good enough to identify it as a painted bunting. I also have an audio recording on there as well. Not the best audio, but it's audio nevertheless. If for no other reason to have it, I have it for the sole purpose of ID. And so, but I got to go to the Clam Creek picnic area, really neat place. And of course, in the middle of that, in the middle of all that, I ended up, also being able to go to, Tortuga Jack's, which I've talked about before on the podcast, and how they have those amazing shrimp tacos. And I got to sit outside underneath the big tiki. And, since I was by myself, I sat at the bar because I don't want to take up a table. I sat at the bar, ate some shrimp tacos while the breeze blew in off the beach, and got to watch the water and things like that. And just, if you're ever out there, it's totally worth going to Tortuga Jack's. I've said that a million times on this podcast, I feel like. But it is a favorite spot, so definitely go for it. After I was down at the Clam Creek picnic area, I went ahead and left Jekyll Island. And I wanted to make a second stop at the Marshes of Glen Park. And so I stopped over there and really just did a species count. I didn't count individual birds for most of this. I just did a species count. So we had some Wilson's plovers, black-bellied plovers, semi-palmated plovers, short-billed dowitchers. I had a great blue heron, I got a really interesting angle of the heron because he was staring at my face, which I thought was really neat, and had some marsh wrens as well. Nothing really much to write home about there. Lots of laughing goals as well, but nothing too much to be too terribly excited over. After I left there, I headed to St. Simon's Island. St. Simon's had had some stuff seen that I needed for my year. One of the things was the gray kingbird. Now, it had been seen out at the garden, the community garden out at McKibben Airport on St. Simon's. And so I was expecting to be able to go out there and see it. But I had texted a friend of mine, Elliot Van Otteren. I had texted Elliot and I was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for the gray kingbird. And he said, okay, well, it was seen outside the Home 2 Suites Hotel. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I started driving over that direction. And as I'm driving, I've got my windows down. When I was getting close, even though it was hot, I had my windows down because I was like, I need to hear this thing. And so sure enough, I'm driving by and I heard it call and looked up and it's on the power line. And so I zoomed into the parking lot, got a quick look at it, and it flew. But it was just enough to be able to say, hey, there's my gray kingbird. I heard it. I saw it. Beautiful bird. It was just hanging out on the power lines just outside the Home 2 Suites hotel. So really cool bird. That's only the second time in my life that I've seen one. Both times I've been in the state of Georgia, and both times I've actually been on St. Simon's. But that was the first one for the year, and it got to be added to my year list, so that was really neat. Anytime you go out to St. Simon's, though, you can't ignore Gould's Inlet. So I scooted out to Gould's Inlet, got out there for my afternoon visit, and there wasn't a ton of stuff out there again. Had some lesser blackback gulls again, gull-billed terns, black skimmers, cormorants, things like that. I did have a Bonaparte's gull, which I thought was awesome. Definitely a great find. The reason I marked it, if you go to the, since I'll have the checklists in my show notes, if you go to the checklist, the Bonaparte's gull is marked with an X because I only saw one, but there were so many gulls out there. Granted, 90% of them had to be laughing gulls, but I could not confidently say that there was only one Bonaparte's gull. So I marked it with an X, that one and the laughing gull, simply because I couldn't keep up. There was just so many out there. So, but it was a great visit out there to Gould's Inlet. Beautiful, beautiful spot as always. Now, while I was down there on the coast, there was some rarities that I needed to pick up for the year. So I went out to the Cypress Run neighborhood ponds, and I had found out about this bird from Elliot Van Otteren as well. He was like, you got to pick up the mottled duck while you're down here. And so I drove out to the Cypress Run ponds. I didn't even know where they were. He had to send me a Google Maps pin in order for me to find it. But I finally found it not too far from St. Simon's. Once you get off the causeway, that is. It's not too far from St. Simon's. And pulled in this neighborhood and felt kind of odd because all these houses, there's these two, there's two or three ponds. There's multiple ponds in this neighborhood. And all the houses back up to these ponds, and the road goes in between them. And so here I am, and it was so, I felt so nervous. I hated it for these property owners. I was really trying not to use my binoculars or my camera as much as possible, but I did use my camera just long enough to snap three photos of this mottled duck. Just an awesome bird. Kind of neat. You know, if you aren't paying attention, if you don't know anything about birds and you see a mottled duck, you're just going to think it's a female mallard because that's what everybody else, you know, that's what they look like. But, you know, with the lighter neck, the yellow bill, it was just an awesome opportunity to see this bird. Super easy, you know, pull up, see the bird and move on. It did take me a few minutes to find the bird, but once I found it, it was like, okay, get some pictures and move on. I hated to rush, but that's just how it worked. So, after Cypress Run, though, I went back to the hotel and just kind of chilled at the hotel for a little while. And then as it started to get dark, I went ahead and drove out to the Barn Owl Nest Box that is, it's in Darien down there, the town of Darien. So I drove into Darien. It's sitting outside this church and pulled into the church parking lot. Never saw the barn owl, but I got a very faint audio recording of them talking inside the box. Also had a Chuck Will's Widow, the tremolo call from an eastern screech owl, which was really neat, as well as, you know, some typical birds, brown thrashers, blue jays, flycatchers, things like that. But it was really neat because that was the first barn owl I had for the year. And if I remember correctly, that may have been my first eastern screech owl. I don't know for sure. But I know that was my first barn owl. And, I mean, granted, it's a nest box. It's marked. It's not like you have to work for it. But, you know, they are wild. They are not captive. And so I did get to go see these birds. I had to mark it as just one because I only heard one vocalizing. There could have been more in the box. But still neat. Still really neat getting to see that one. So I went to bed that night. It was the last day of April, and I did include Sunday, May 1st in on this, podcast episode because it's part of the same trip. I woke up that morning. I was not planning on hanging out in town very long. I really just wanted to go home. I was tired, ready to just get a nap and move on. But I did get up early that morning and went out to the Altamaha Wildlife Management Area out at Butler Island. And I got some really cool species picked up here. I had 45 species, some photos of some of them. And I think there's actually more pictures for a lot of this stuff. I just haven't uploaded it yet. I'm the world's worst about taking pictures. And unless it's a rarity, I always forget that I have them. And I have to go back months later and start adding these photos to the checklists. So the first thing was some black-bellied whistling ducks. And if you go to this checklist, I have some of my favorite photos that I've ever taken. These black-bellied whistling ducks, man, they just kept looking at me. They gave me this, like, side-eye kind of look, like, what is he doing? Who is he? You know, they weren't too far away. I also got some flying. I love black-bellied whistling ducks, and I don't know why, but they're just, gosh, I love them. So I got some really cool pictures of them. Had some more mottled ducks out there. Clapper rail, Virginia rail, common gallinules. Had some pictures of those. Really neat birds. I had one purple gallinule. Was not in a spot that I could easily get a picture of. And if I remember correctly, I did not get a picture of it. But I finally picked that one up. And there had been one reported for a while. Finally got to report it myself. Several blackneck stilts, white rump sandpipers, Caspian terns, which are really cool. I had my first leased bittern for the year, and I got pictures of that one. They're not the best photos, but they are pictures nevertheless. Tricolored herons, green herons, glossy and white ibises, lots of purple martins, things like that, marsh wrens. But the coolest one, I got a seaside sparrow. Sorry, I wanted to go ahead and throw that one in there. But the coolest one was the bobolink. So I don't know if I've talked about Altamaha before on this podcast, but no one ever told me what to expect when I went to Altamaha. And so when I went, I was not expecting to see well over 100, more like 200 probably, bobolinks. They were everywhere. And granted, you had some, you know, cowbirds and blackbirds and grackles and stuff mixed in, but there was a ton of bobolinks out there. And I actually have some pictures of them that are not uploaded, but I know I have pictures of them. I just got to get them put on here. But it was my first of the year. It was actually my lifer bobolink. And so it was a really neat experience. I mean, when I first pulled in, that's the first thing I saw. I had not even made it like 100 yards from the gate. I like pulled in, got out of the road and stopped and started watching these things, and the car's getting filled with bugs. And it was just, you know, it's a really swampy area down there, but it was so neat getting to see all those birds, all those bobolinks and stuff. Really neat opportunity. Had some more painted buntings, indigo buntings as well. A fantastic trip. But after Altamaha, I spent about 2.5 hours out there. And after that, I did go ahead and decide to go home. I was ready to get home. I had some stuff I needed to do, and I knew that in 4 days I would be back down here for my first ever pelagic birding tour. And so that's going to be in my next episode, is my first ever pelagic birding tour and how great of an experience that was. It was really cool. Learned a lot of stuff that I won't do again. But I mean, I will go pelagic birding again. It's just certain things about pelagic birding that I will not repeat. But it was just a fantastic opportunity, and I knew I was coming back down here, so I knew I was going to have another opportunity to see some more birds. So I had to head home and do some other stuff. But the coast, the Georgia coast, is just very unique. It's a beautiful place. We have lots of wild spaces. Not as much as I wish we had, but we do have a lot of wild spaces on the Georgia coast. We're very lucky to have a lot of that, where a lot of other states don't have that. And so it's a great opportunity to go and see, you know, lots of crazy birds out there. Definitely something to be thankful for, having that in our coast. So, Georgia coast, check it out when you can. If you haven't yet, and if you have, then you already know what I'm talking about. But hopefully one day I hope to meet some of you out there birding, because it's just one of my favorite places. And if I have it my way, one day I'll live down there. So we'll see how that goes. But a great birding trip, and definitely enjoyed it. So all that rambling about birds, I certainly hope you enjoyed hearing about the month of April and my big year. There's a lot of birding to cover. Like I said, you will be hearing about my first ever pelagic birding tour, which happened in the month of May. May was a very busy month for birding. A lot of checklists happened in May, as well as, you know, some more in June, not as many. But in May, we had a lot of checklists. So I've got a lot to go over. And some other stuff happened in May. May is when I ended up dropping my big year. You know, I was not necessarily looking forward to having to do that. But that's also when I dropped my big year and kind of changed the way that my pace was moving. So, you know, we'll see how May goes. I hope you guys will enjoy it. May is one of my favorite months so far in birding. April and May, of course, are the best because of migration, but hopefully you'll enjoy the next episode as well. I am hoping to add a co-host soon, working on that. It may mean that I don't get to record as often, simply because my co-host, the person I'm hoping is going to be my co-host, is not local, but hoping that that works out soon. Also hoping to have some interviews on here soon, you know, so you're not just listening to me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, because who wants to listen to that? And we'll see how it all goes. But thanks for tuning in today. If you have a moment, take a minute and rate, review, and subscribe to my podcast. You can also contact me anytime through social media, through email. I've given that information out before. You know, I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear that there's somebody out there listening. So, I know there are people because it shows me there's people, but I don't know who the people are. So it'd be great to know. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Can't wait to, talk to you guys next time. And until next time, happy birding.